It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, a sensible football podcast. This is Tariq joining you along with Vishal.
Yep. Hey guys.
For a special Champions League episode. Vishal, this is a relative novelty this season because we haven't got you to do any preview episodes for the Champions League, mostly out of superstitious reasons. And to cover our bets, I'll be recording a separate episode with Karan.
The odds are even.
And releasing that too. But we are here, of course, to discuss the Champions League final at Kiev, which features two of the most successful teams in this competition, and that would be Real Madrid, and then Liverpool. Because that's the number of trophies Madrid have won. And of course, we are here to talk about the matchup, the major preview. Vishal, you spent a lot of time obsessing over game film, watching game film, as if Klopp was about to call you as emergency replacement for Bobac at Melwood.
I'm really available.
And we know you're going to listen to this Klopp, to this podcast, because where else do all those pre-2015 plays from Germany come from? But yes, you have been doing a lot of research on Liverpool in particular and Real Madrid in general too. So we are about to talk about that final because you are, of course, the tactical breakdowner in chief designate here at Soccer Sense. First things first, quick look at how these teams made it here. Simpler for Real Madrid, you could say, but again, nothing in the Champions League is ever
simple.
So let's quickly talk about Real Madrid. They had to break through a group that was actually a difficult group.
Yep, they had Juve again in the group, a tough group, but I think by now Real Madrid have become specialists in really getting results and churning out results in the Champions League, not so much in the league, but Champions League specialists clearly. Because they seem
They're Tottenham in the group.
They're Tottenham in the group, and they got beaten by Tottenham even. So a lot of people said, okay, it's time. I think this Madrid can't
like
really.
Some Tottenham groups help. Tottenham fans helpfully pointed out after the Munich Real semi final that Tottenham is the only English team to have beaten Real Madrid this year on aggregate. And then somebody said that, great, so are we going to the final in Kiev? So nonetheless, coming back to Real Madrid.
So I think clinical more or less. Yes, they finished second, because of which they landed up having a very tough round of 16, which was PSG, and clinical performance. I think their most clinical performance in the Champions League so far, where every other leg they've let the team come back in. They made it difficult for themselves, but PSG across both the legs absolutely bossed the big spending. PSG, who unfortunately did not have Neymar for the second leg as well, so a lot of things worked in Madrid's favour, and they are generally outplayed PSG. Following which, I think one of the ties of the Champions League was Juve Madrid, where Madrid went, Cristiano Ronaldo put on a masterpiece at Turin and won the game 3-0, and everybody thought, okay, this is good, this is going to go well, and Madrid are going to be clinical and finish it off at the Bernabeu, till Juve showed up and decided to make it 3-3, and the final away goal, putting aside all controversy and everything, Madrid got it done. And I think the biggest thing that you need to notice in that game was the Madrid 11 refusing to panic. I think there was some level of composure, some level of championship pedigree that they really showed in that game, where even when they were 3-0 down, they just went back at it to attack, and they just went back doing their business, and
that's how they effectively drew the penalty. I mean, you could make emotional cases for whether Buffon should have been sent off or not and things like that, but facts are facts. That
absolutely
was a penalty. It was buried by.
And Madrid could have easily said, okay, let's take this to extra time and see what we can do, but no, they just kept going at it, and the results showed, and which brought them on to Munich are Madrid's Arsenal, by the way. let's put this out right now.
Arsenal are Munich's Arsenal. Then there is Munich who themselves become.
Next time Munich want to really troll Arsenal, they should think about this. So because Madrid seemed to take beat them whenever they wanted. Ah, Munich, come, bring. And yep.
So even running with practically one engine
exactly.
for both the legs,
yep.
the jetliner of a team that Madrid is,
yep.
they somehow stuck the landing.
Absolutely. Like I thought Munich was the better team across 180 minutes of football. Munich, obviously, were not clinical enough, were not good enough, but Madrid showed again championship pedigree because they practically had five chances and scored four goals then. That's what a championship team does. They might not be the best on the night, but they know how to get things done. And it's almost like the famous 1-0 win, right? That where you know you're not necessarily at your best, but you grind it out. And Madrid have grinded out results all the way till the finals and possibly have set up another chance to do a three-peat, and that's unheard of in the Champions League. Last team to do it, in fact, was
Absolutely.
Munich. So, in the 70s. So.
That too in the 70s, and
yep.
it was the European Cup back then.
Exactly,
so, just look at the modern Champions League history. Repeating in this championship was a huge deal. Very few teams have
yeah.
done it. Three-peating would
yeah.
just be exceptional and extraordinary.
Absolutely.
Speaking of exceptional and extraordinary, Vishal, Liverpool.
Long breath, deep breath.
Started this campaign at Hoffenheim in the depths of August in the qualifying game that they had to play.
Yep.
Of course, they came through it, and then take us through the rest of the journey, because I sure as heck can't.
I pretty much only want to talk about one group game or two games in the group game, which was the Sevilla tie, where everybody saw the good, bad and ugly of Liverpool. Where Liverpool go 3-0 up, are cruising, and everybody's like, yeah, this team is looking really good. The clock style is turned on, and boom, 3-0. And I think there is a clip of Salah's reaction once he comes off, and it becomes 3-0. And you know, the whole, you know, screw this.
these are early days
yeah.
in his signing.
Yeah. The utter disgust he had on his face when the third goal went in was, I think that's one of my images of the season, because look where they are right now. So that was pretty much the rest of the Champions League for Liverpool, because round of 16, where they did a great job to finish in the top, finish top of the group and come back and play Porto in the round of 16.
Which included a demolition job
yeah.
at Moscow, by the way.
Yeah, which absolutely destroying Porto, and 6-0 at Porto, at
5-0
at 5-0 at Portugal, and which was, oh my god, like how do you do that? Like Porto, and like if you listen to our previous episodes, we've done a detail about how good Porto are as a squad, and that possibly the most clinical performance, where they came back and played for a result at Anfield, where they just said, we need to keep a clean sheet, we will get the clean sheet. And then came the quarterfinals, where I think 80% of the world ruled them out, where they said, fine, they've beaten Man City in the league, fine, they have this thing, but this is Pep Guardiola, this is Man City, the best
this
team.
This Champions
possibly.
League, this is he's somebody who knows Europe inside out.
Exactly, and on pure performance basis, this is possibly the best team in Europe at this point in time, in terms of points, in terms of goals scored and all of that, only to be contested by Barcelona. So everybody really did put Man City as the overwhelming favourites in this tie, and my god, did Liverpool prove them wrong. And this was like we said, Liverpool not just have Pep Guardiola's number, but they have pretty much established how to beat a team in the Premier League, which other teams are now starting to pick up. And this, but that performance from Liverpool was sheer masterclass, both home and away, because away a lot of things could have gone wrong, because Man City scored the early goal, Man City came back to almost score the second goal, but Liverpool
had the momentum
yep,
with them.
Yep, Liverpool came back in the second half with utmost composure and came back to not just equalise but win the game. And going and winning at Manchester City in a Champions League tie is possibly impossible under Pep Guardiola. So it was a great, great result, and I think that kind of woke everybody up. But you know, if you listen to our preview of the round of 16, we said Liverpool are the dark horses in this one, along with Roma. We took the names of these two clubs, saying these two clubs are the ones who are going to go really far in this, and you know, cause a few upsets. Talking about upsets, Liverpool versus Roma after beating Barcelona
encounter,
as big as an upset as it can get. So I think here Liverpool did start favourites, and we just did a breakdown of how the game went, and Liverpool did outplay them, outclass them for a good period of 70 minutes on in the first leg, and it showed. Like in that, those 70 minutes is pretty much what took them through the tie, and they did put us through the Liverpool experience in the second leg, where they just said, okay, you know what, you guys are might be bored, let's entertain you a little more. So they did it the hard way, in any case, because the aggregate was 7-6. I don't know when the last time a Champions League final or semi-final rather had an aggregate of 7-6. Like, it's not a penalty shootout.
Yes, that night somebody messaged me saying this is the craziness with which is going, looks like it might end 10-10 on aggregate.
Absolutely.
So the only thing I replied to him was that I will take it because we go through on away goals.
And let me tell you, I have not seen this man a bigger emotional wreck ever. Through this Champions League, I have seen it all.
And we still have the final to go, Vishal. So we finally are at the point in this podcast,
yep,
where we are ready to dive in to,
yep,
the final.
Yep.
And as to how the teams might set up.
Yep.
We might want to get Real Madrid out of the way first.
Absolutely.
Their favourites,
yep,
possibly the more predictable side here in the,
absolutely,
sense that they have been to the last two finals. So quickly, how do you see Real Madrid lining up for
Real Madrid is pretty... The impressive part about this Real Madrid squad is, like you said, 3 out of 4 finals, and all three finals have the same squad have played. Their squad has really not changed much over the last four years, and which is why the experience is really coming through, where you have Marcelo, you have Carvajal, who are going to play on the wings, who are massive, massive attacking threats, not necessarily great defensively, especially Marcelo, who I do not know...
In the great tradition of Brazilian,
yeah,
defenders.
So, we're going to come back to this, we're going to revisit this, but them both starting at wing-backs, but... I think the core lies at the central defence, where they have two world-class central defenders, Rafael Varane and Sergio Ramos, who, if you really notice, unlike most central defenders, they start at the edge of they start defending at the edge of the penalty box, right at the corner, because they do know that they have weak wing backs, and they do really cover for them. And if you really look at the game against Munich in the second leg at the Bernabeu, these two really did throw themselves at everything possible, and that's where the real strength of this team lies, that they have somebody like Varane and Sergio Ramos holding guard for them, and that allows players to really push forward and not worry. And most importantly, the trump card that Zidane holds is Casemiro, who will start right in front of these guys, who is going to be doing the sweeping role, who's going to be picking up the ball, who's also going to be making those late runs into the opposition penalty box, where he picks up, comes and scores these goals he did in the last Champions League finals against Juventus. So I think that man is half Brazilian, half Italian, because his defensive prowess is something that I have not seen with too many Brazilian midfielders, and they have had some great midfielders, but he can defend like I think Gilberto Silva was the last real player in that sense for Brazil.
And the reason why we at Soccer Sense, I mean, we'll speak more about it when we get there, but we at,
yep,
Soccer Sense are super excited about watching Brazil at the,
yep,
World Cup this,
oh,
time.
Absolutely. Absolutely, that team is going to be dangerous this time. And I think now coming down to the real strength of Madrid, which is centre, where they're going to start with two midfielders, with Cruz and Modric, who on paper are possibly the best passers in the game. They see things at least 2-3 steps before the opponents see it. And if Madrid are going to win this game, they're going to win it in the middle of the ground, be it in central defence, be it in centre of the park. And to the left and right, Madrid have now started playing Luis Vasquez on the right and Asensio on the left. It could be Isco. Isco could replace Asensio on the day of the final. But these are the two options. And finally, the two players up front, which is, one is Benzema. I want to get Benzema out of the way, and the man, Cristiano Ronaldo. And why I bring Cristiano Ronaldo towards the end is because of what he's going to bring to the final. If you look at Cristiano Ronaldo, a lot of people have said that he was not in top form in the semi-finals. He wasn't in the top form, but what he did was he always carried two players with him. Like, when Ronaldo enters the box, you can't help but man mark, but you will double team him, because that is the only way to keep this man out of the play. And he does not go at your best defender. So for example, if Liverpool are starting with the Van Dijk, he will not be around Van Dijk. He will go at Lovren. He will go at, for example, a Trent Alexander, where he knows these are players like as good as Trent Alexander. He hasn't played a Messi or Ronaldo, and that's a whole different fight for him. So Ronaldo's going to pick his fights. Ronaldo's going to pick his
wins. And he's going to pick the fights that he can
win. Absolutely. And because he is possibly in a parallel, the LeBron James of football right now, because age is necessarily not on his side, but he's picking his moves, he's choosing his runs, he knows when to fall back, when not to make a run, when not to challenge the ball. So he's making all the right decisions. So a lot of experience really needs to come in to mark this man. And yeah, that's Madrid as it stands right now.
And I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo has more Champions League final experience than some Liverpool players have Champions League experience.
Absolutely.
That is something else that he brings on to
yep.
the table. So that is Real Madrid for you. Of course, they will be facing Liverpool. And the question now remains, in the words of Meatloaf, from these grains of sand, can Klopp build an Emerald City?
Yep. So to really understand how Liverpool set up, what I did is I went and watched a little bit of Klopp, Dortmund under Klopp, to see how was his setup with Dortmund, and then came back to Liverpool. And in Dortmund, with whom he reached the Champions League final as well, anyway, by the way, Dortmund all 11 defended. All 11 fell back, all 11 put, I mean, then the attacking players went forward, and that was heavy metal at its best. Like, it was bordering reckless. But he's made a very slight tactical change in Liverpool, which is possibly why the front three are as effective as they are. He does not ask Mane and Salah to fall back as much as possible. He plays them from the half line. So while Firmino does a lot of falling back and covering,
yeah, it's essentially Firmino who is doing
exactly
attacking back most of the
exactly.
time.
Exactly. So while he does that, these two more often than not stop at the center. And when Firmino picks up the ball, he always spreads it out to these two, and then he makes the run off the ball. And similarly, the other players are making the run off the ball. Where that's why the other teams are almost opened up immediately, because suddenly they did not know which direction to run in, because Firmino is running in from inside. Mane is coming from the left, and Salah or Mora or either could have the ball and be attacking on the other side. So if two come this side, two players come free that side. So the absolute permutation and combination is very difficult for anybody to tackle. However, if there has also been a lot of conversation about how Liverpool's midfield have been very weak and have not been able to cover. And I think I'd like to counter that at this point in time. I think Liverpool's midfield obviously are not as good as Real Madrid's midfield, because man-to-man Madrid's midfield,
I mean, you do
should
not really
be,
get to
yeah.
compare,
correct.
Let's say, a Cruz
with Henderson. Yeah. Like, as good as Henderson's been the last two games, you still do not get to be in the same page as those players, because those are players who've been there, done that, and are continuing to do that. But what Klopp has done is he's... I'm going to pick up Gini Wijnaldum, I'm going to pick up Oxlade-Chamberlain and Milner, leaving Henderson aside. He's intentionally picked up wingers and converted them into central midfield players. This is with the one reason that he's understood that these two won't fall back, so he needs players with lungs to really fall to bombard. So Liverpool's midfield really play a stretched midfield. Like, these guys also double up as wingers. These guys also double up as players who are going to mark the wing backs when they are going to be bombarding up front. So if a Marcelo is running up front, running after half line, it's not going to be a Salah or a Mane. It's going to be a Milner or a Wijnaldum who are marking them. And the biggest difficulty for Liverpool is over 90 minutes, these players cannot maintain that level of intensity. So it's really not Klopp substitution that goes wrong. It's really these players running out of gas that really where Liverpool's... If you look at Liverpool, all the last four or five games of the Champions League, right? Either the two legs against Roma or the two legs
against
Man City. They tend to lose plot in the 75th minute onwards.
And along with that, tend to lose shape
and composure. Exactly. And that's because they stop having the ball in midfield. The midfielders do not have it in them to really push forward and really...
And we saw it against Roma.
Absolutely.
In terms of how... because of their lack of midfield possession,
there was
so much of penetration and possession from Roma near the penalty area, and most of the clearances from Liverpool were just absolute desperation hacks to just put
it
up.
Exactly that. So I really don't think it's fair to blame, one, his substitutions, and two, call the midfield a weak midfield, because you need to understand these guys are doing a double shift. Because, for example, a Cruz and a Modric are not really falling to the wings. Yeah, they are expecting Lucas Vazquez to fall back. They are expecting Asensio or Risco to fall back, and that's how they are playing the game, like proper wingers. But here you have central midfielders doubling up as defensive midfielders, doubling up as playmakers, and then finally also marking the wings. So that is one of the biggest tactics that Klopp has used, which which is why, as long as that 80-minute period, 75-minute period, Liverpool are that effective because they are that aggressive for that period of time. And finally,
and it probably depend on if they can convert those into enough goals to keep Real Madrid.
If you were to really look at this, right, it's simple. It's the center of Madrid versus the wings of Liverpool. It's as simple as that. Because can in the current form, can a Marcelo mark Salah? No, he cannot. Can Carvajal, who was taken off at halftime against Roma, who did not have any world-class wingers to really speak of, can he keep a Mane? No, he cannot. Can you expect a Ronaldo to double up and to help Marcelo out? No, he cannot. But however, if you were to reverse this and see how Madrid are going to come, when a Ronaldo is going to run with a ball, there's going to be a world-class Marcelo who's going to be doubling up no matter what. How does Liverpool counter that? So, at this point, what Liverpool really need to do is, like we've discussed, they need to find that 20 minutes of great football. They need to find themselves that 20 minutes of great football and they will score. I don't think there's not going to be a possibility of Liverpool not scoring, but it's going to be a possibility of scoring and managing the game well. They really need to understand that if you have a 1-0, it's okay to sit with a 1-0 and defend with all you have. Because if the minute you open up, the minute you put yourself in a position where a Lovren has to go one-on-one with a Ronaldo or any of the Liverpool Madrid attacking lineup for that sense, it doesn't end well for Liverpool.
So, I mean, this will have to be a little bit of less of Harlem Globetrotters,
yes,
and a little bit of,
yes,
Detroit Pistons,
yes,
here.
You need to really go for that 30 minutes of intense football, because I'm not sure Madrid can keep up with that intensity and that pace of Liverpool. I don't think anybody in the world right now can keep up with that intensity or pace of Liverpool. But post that, Liverpool really need to manage the energies, because you also need to understand, and I wanted to bring this in last, is the bench strength of both the teams. If Madrid is bringing on, for example, if Asensio is coming off a bench, Gareth Bale is coming off the bench, that's dangerous, because Gareth Bale is world class, Asensio is world class, and you have Kovacic who will come off the bench, which is again world class. Liverpool have a very, very poor bench, because and you could see that against, if Klavan is your option, there is a problem. So, because they've unfortunately lost Oxlade-Chamberlain. Gomez is not necessarily ready for this.
The injuries have come at the wrong time,
yep.
And of course, just generally speaking, there never really was much of a bench to speak of.
I still think if Liverpool manage this game right, they win this game, because Madrid are not used to playing this level of football. And you saw it against Barca last night in the El Clasico, where you hit them with pace, they struggle. And Liverpool just need to play through.
And we have said this often about Real.
We
said this during the breakdown of the Juventus return leg.
Yep.
We have talked about this with Bayern and how they were wasteful and did not really convert those opportunities that they got.
And Liverpool have to do the one experiment that they don't do normally, is to put in early crosses in. Not early long balls, early crosses in from the wings. I think Firmino should play a more central role in this game, as much as he's going to fall in, that you expect Firmino to do. But Madrid cannot defend crosses. Madrid had struggled to defend crosses. Juve exploited it. Munich exploited it. And I think that's a key lesson for Liverpool, that if you put early ball in, you don't have to necessarily head the ball, but you can bring it under control and then bring in the rest of your midfield in, rest of your wings in. So there is a lot at stake for Liverpool to just play their game with a few tweaks here and there and really win this one. Because I think being the underdog here is good for them. But they just need to manage this game, and I think Liverpool win this game.
All right, and we'll see if that happens or does not, and if I live to tell the tale on this podcast when we meet next to talk about the Champions League final. And of course, a host of other things, because we have been doing a lot of programming on the World Cup slate.
Yep.
We have already lined up a new episode for our new series called Soccer Sense Replay, reliving some of our personal favorites of World Cup games. Do take a listen. The first episode is up. The second and the third episodes are lined up. Will be up soon. And of course, Vishal, we have a huge, huge episode pending that's coming soon, which is our big World Cup preview.
Yes.
All of the groups, all of the games broken down.
Yep.
That's coming soon too, about a week before the World Cup. And that's about all the time we have here.
Yep.
Fingers crossed for Liverpool.
Absolutely. Come on, Liverpool.
And
knock Madrid off their perch already. Not three in a row.
Pull this off. Even a Chelsea fan messaged me the other day and said, I think Real Madrid really need to chill. 3-0 is pushing it.
I swear it. That's just a bit too much. Come back next year, but not now.
So that's all we've got the time for this week. You can follow us at Sense Soccer on Twitter, or you can catch us on any of the podcasts that you use, or visit us on audioboom.com/channel/soccer-sense. And this is Tariq signing off along with Vishal.
Pray for Liverpool.
I will see you guys soon.